In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Within ourselves, in our hearts, in our souls, we have sinned. That is to say, we have missed the mark of being the person that God created us to be. Each one of us does this for ourselves. We have at the center of the church today the icon of the sending out of paradise of Adam and Eve. They were expelled from paradise because they turned away from God, the source of life, and toward the world. They wanted to be like God without God. They missed the mark. They sinned. They fell. Christ has ascended on our behalf, destroyed the power of fear and death as they influence us in our lives, destroyed them forever on the cross. And he has ascended in our humanity to sit at the right hand of God, the Father. The life of every Christian is a life of following him in his ascent. Follow Christ, people say. And they look for the things that Jesus said in the New Testament as far as advice about how to live. And all of the advice that they find there comes from the Old Testament. Following that advice, fulfilling those things in the way of the old covenant, in the way of the law. That isn't following Christ. If we are going to follow Christ, we must ascend to be at one with him in our humanity as it is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. Christian life is a life of ascent. It's never a life of accommodation to the world as it is, because Christ has overcome the world. And it is possible for us to live the lives that God created us to live by following him, by making that ascent. We are created to live in the paradise of oneness with God. And Christ returns that to us so that we can live that life, the life of his perfection, by constantly ascending through the course of our lives toward him. That is our salvation. We are no longer bound to this world. We are no longer bound to our sins and our passions. We are able to ascend and leave them behind, because who we are is revealed once and for all in Christ. That is what we are truly like, the way our humanity is revealed in him. And yet, we don't live a life of paradise in the world. We come to the divine liturgy, and here we come together and we ascend together in this sacrament of the divine liturgy, together through Christ, and we receive a taste of the food of the kingdom. It feeds our bodies. We are able to take it back into the world. Those emissaries from the ruler of Rus in Kiev, when they went to Constantinople, stood in the center of the Hagia Sophia, the Holy Wisdom Temple. And they said they didn't know whether they were in heaven or in earth. And in our divine liturgy, we taste that heavenly kingdom. Again, we taste that return to paradise here at the divine liturgy. And we are really here. We are really there. We are really participating. But if we look into our hearts, if we look into our souls, we don't find the peace of Christ's presence. The lives that we live in the world show that we are not living in paradise. For the next 4 days, we will read the canon of St. Andrew of Crete in the evening. And if we read a commentary on that canon, and I have one that I like very much that was written by Sister Tecla of the monastery at Normansby in North Yorkshire. She points out things in the canon that are the themes that run through the canon. In the very first ode, she says, there is an identification made between Adam and the prodigal. We can identify with the prodigal. We know that we have squandered what God gave us in a worldly way, and we need to return. In the canon of St. Andrew of Crete, the prodigal is identified with Adam. The prodigal's story is the story of the fall. And it is not just the fall of the first created, it is the fall of every human soul. The canon is addressed to my soul and your soul. A soul that is fallen, a soul that finds its highest desires in the world. The things that move us are the things of the world. In our soul, we need to return within ourselves during the course of our lives to the Father. We can only do that along with Christ. He is the one who has come, accepted our humanity, lived a life in this world as one of us, and ascended, returned to the Father. He knows the way. We don't know the way. We think we do. And we go out to try to be better persons or to do better than we were last time we went to confession. And we are relying on ourselves. We have to follow Christ in his ascent. We have to leave this world and our bondage to our passions and desires behind. My heart is not the center of the life as my life should be. My heart, your heart, is filled with passions and desires. We think of it as the center of all of the things that are most important to me. And every single one of those things is something of this world. Every single one of those things is a passion, a desire. When we think of our hearts, we think of our feelings, our emotions, our passions, our desires. What could be closer to me than that? If I feel wounded in my heart, it is a wound to my passion, a wound to my desire. That's only an understanding of the heart that we have, because our heart is not as God created it to be. In the canon, there are words that reveal to us that God created the soul pure, perfect, holy, and filled with virtue. And he gave it freedom. And we take our freedom, the freedom of our soul, the freedom of our heart, and by our will, we build something new. We create something new. We distort it and disorient it from its only true purpose, to be at one with God. We, like Adam, like the prodigal, turn toward the world, and we fall into passion, desire for the world. We fall into the project of trying to compete with God to build our own goodness, our own paradise within ourselves. We even mistake the Christian life as a way of helping us in that project. We have to reject that delusion. We can be believing, we can be thinking that we are making great progress in the world, using the world, as it says in the second ode of the canon, the clothing made of skin that God gave to Adam and Eve. In the canon, that skin of clothing that God compassionately gave to Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. Because if we don't have Christ, if we don't have God, if our soul is not the soul of someone who is pure and holy, the soul of the presence of Christ and the place where we live in the kingdom of God, paradise, if it's not that, then we are naked. And so God gave Adam and Eve clothing made of the skins of animals, things of this world, things that could be made out of the world. Adam and Eve went out into the world. We go out into the world. The prodigal went out into the world and tried to take that inheritance that had been given compassionately to him by the Father. And we try to make a substitute for heaven because we have been cast out, expelled from paradise. And we long to have that home that we no longer have. We use the things of the world to try to build a home, but it is not the home of the soul as God created it to be. It is the home of the soul as we have changed it by our will, become so involved with the world that we can't imagine that we are anything other than people who are making our own way in the world. And when we pray, we ask God to help in that project. As we begin, as we are here on the verge of beginning, the great Lenten return, the great Lenten joy of purification, so that we can experience the ascent of this body, this soul, this heart, mine, yours, to regain not just a taste of the kingdom at the chalice, but a living of the life that God has made possible for us to live in the world. Ascending each step and each sin that we repent of, recognition of that sin, stepping on it, leaving it behind, can be another step in the ascent. When we hear the canon of St. Andrew, we hear examples of all of the men and women of the Old Testament, and they reveal to us the specifics of the ways in which we have sinned as we have lived in the world. Some of them have been longing for the coming of the one who was promised, who was the only one who could help them to return to God. Others thought they were making better progress than anyone because they were going swiftly down in the wrong direction. It's always easier and quicker to go down than to go up. It requires less effort. It seems like everything helps us to speed down toward the most distant point away from where we ought to be. Repentance is simply turning in the opposite direction and struggling to ascend, struggling to put each one of our sins as they arise in our daily life behind us by rejecting them. That is how we ascend. That is the ladder of divine ascent. St. John Climacus writes, "Ascend, brothers, ascend. Ascend, Christians, to the nature that God has revealed to us is ours. We can have the peace and the joy of oneness with God, not being bound to our passions, our desires, our sins. It comes every time we step on and over one of those sins that we repent of and we reject. We challenge the flesh and the devil and the world and ascend in spite of them. There is nothing that they can do to keep us because the victory has already been won by Christ who has already ascended. So long as we ascend along with him, we can be like the thief in the icons of paradise. We have three icons of paradise. We might think of them differently, but that's what they are. The clearest one is the one over here. And in the bottom of the icon, you can see the thief with his cross That is how he entered paradise. By suffering the consequences of his sins on the cross alongside of Christ and repenting of his sins and confessing that his life and the life of Christ were one life, both dying on the cross, but Christ knowing the way to ascend, to sit at the right hand of the Father, and there is the thief. And the other two icons that include sections that are icons of paradise, the one on this other door down at the bottom and the one in the back over the doorway on the bottom left, we see the thief again there with his cross. And outside of the door of paradise are St. Peter and St. Paul. The thief got there before St. Peter and St. Paul. He ascended by way of Christ to enter into paradise. And that is something that can be done in this life. Holy men and women have revealed that this is true from the first Christian century. But it isn't something that they do all by themselves, and it isn't something that they do leaving all of the rest of us behind. We too can make the spiritual effort to make our lives lives of ascent. These are the things that we should consider as we think of the next 40 days, where we strip ourselves for battle, strip ourselves for a spiritual struggle, for greater joy, greater meaning, greater fulfillment, the physical and spiritual capacity to live lives that we can't live in our current condition. That's the kind of spiritual effort that we are about to begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.